Live from the ESPN Pensacola studios, it's The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. You could be a part of today's show by texting or calling at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Better play hard, fast, and together. You got no shot, and we always start there.
Oh, yeah. We've got a little rivalry football in the NFL on Thursday night as the Pittsburgh Steelers will head to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns. If this is not one of the best rivalries inside the NFL, I don't know what is. And I mean, look, I know Cleveland's not necessarily a good team, but these two teams hate each other. And because of that, it always makes this a great series. What's up? It's The Glass Half Full right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. And, of course, if you want to be a part of today's show, you can text or call in 850-623-1330. Again, it's 850-623-1330. Just getting into it. Obviously, like I said, we got a big one coming up here tonight. As we are getting the NFL week kicked off, hard to believe we're already in week 12 of the NFL, but here we are, and this is going to be a good one between these two rivals because, look, even in the NFL, it's the same. It doesn't matter what level we're talking about, whether we're talking about high school football, whether we're talking about college football, whether we're talking about the NFL, whether we're talking about the UHL, the UFL, the XFL, the UHSSAFL, whatever football league it is, if it's football, when it's a rivalry game, you throw the records and stats out the window because anything can happen in these matchups. And I think that's exactly what we're going to see tonight in this game. I think it's going to be a fun game between these two teams. I do believe that one of these teams does have a little bit more of an upper hand over the other. But like I said, Cleveland is going to come out and they're going to fight and they're going to put on as much pressure as they can on this Steelers team because it is a rivalry game. You do not want to lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers if you're the Cleveland Browns. And if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, vice versa. Neither one of these teams want to lose to the other because then that team gets the bragging rights. So we're going to see it all left out on the field tonight in this game. My big question is with Jameis Winston at the quarterback position, right? He had that one good game against the Ravens, right? His first game as the starter, comes out, plays great. Well, not great. Don't let me say great. He played good against the Ravens. He made the plays when he needed to in that game. Since then, it's back to the same old Jameis Winston that we all know and like to make fun of on social media. So how is he going to fare going up against this Steelers defense that really has been a nuisance to opposing offenses the last couple of weeks, including Lamar Jackson last week for the Ravens in that 18-16 win they had. And here's the thing. Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt, they got to be looking back in the backfield and seeing Jameis Winston. They got to be excited about what they see back there, right? It's a quarterback who does have a tendency of holding on to the football too long. Going to create opportunities for them to get sacks. But also it's a quarterback who, when you pressure him and you put a lot of emphasis on pressuring him, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make bad throws. He's going to try to force the ball in there, and it's going to lead to turnovers, which is going to help out guys on the back end like a Beanie Bishop, who has been big for them. And that's the thing. Is right, we talk about the 49ers defense, it's about Bosa, we talk about Bosa. We even, with the Steelers, we'll talk about Cam Hayward, we'll talk about T.J. Watt. But there's been more guys stepping up the past few weeks, right? It hasn't just been Watt and Hayward. Peyton Wilson, the rookie linebacker, right? Just mentioned Beanie Bishop, he stepped up and played well. Nick Herbig, stepping in for an injured player. And again, just coming up big and making plays for the Steelers defense. I really do think that the difference in this game tonight is going to be the Steelers defense against Jameis Winston, right? The coverages that the secondary gives him the pressure that the front seven is going to bring onto him, if he can still find a way to make plays, Cleveland's going to have an opportunity in this game. But I don't know if I have faith in Jameis Winston to be able to make those plays. I don't know. What do you think? I don't. When I look at this game, and of course we're talking about tonight's Thursday night matchup in the NFL on Amazon Prime between the Steelers and the Browns, right here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. You want to chime in, you can do so, 850-263-1330. I don't know if I have enough faith in Jameis Winston against this defense in the Pittsburgh Steelers to say that the Cleveland Browns are going to make enough plays offensively to win this football game. I don't know if they have it. And then on the flip side for the Steelers, the thing I'm really kind of keeping an eye on, they've kind of started using a dual quarterback system, right? They started bringing in Justin Fields a little bit more and kind of, you know, Russell Wilson's the guy. But they've started bringing in Justin Fields a little bit more, kind of almost like a dual quarterback system. And it's, you know, it's not uncommon, right? It's something that we have definitely seen before from the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Let's not forget, he also did the same thing in Tennessee with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. You know, it's not something that is uncommon for him to run. And, of course, we're looking at this game overall, and will we see them stick to that? Will Arthur Smith stick to that attack there that he's been going with? It's similar to that with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill that he had. I don't know. It's risky for me, right? Because what if you run Justin Fields? What if you run a play with Justin Fields and he gets hurt? Then the very next play or a couple of plays later, Russell Wilson goes down with an injury. Who's going to be your quarterback? That's why I'm not a fan of this dual quarterback system, unless you have somebody bona fide on the bench that you can turn to in that situation if that happens. But I'm not a fan of the dual threat quarterback system because of this, or the dual quarterback system because of this. Right? Like running two quarterbacks out there at the same time is just asking for trouble. But if it works for them and it gets the job done and it brings in a new look on the offense, they're going to keep doing it. So don't be surprised if we don't see both quarterbacks tonight. It just gives them a look that the defense maybe not has necessarily has been prepared for, right? Because if you think Russell Wilson is the guy, you're going to practice and get ready for Russell Wilson. Now, obviously, they've already kind of tipped the bit a little bit and have shown this dual quarterback system using both guys. So maybe that's going to open up an opportunity for the Browns to practice to cover both guys. But again, I'm not a fan of this because of the potential disaster it could be if both of these guys get injured. Because who do you have confidence in on that bench to win with outside of those two guys? So I think, again, if I am the Steelers, I'm keeping Justin Fields on the sideline. Right? I'm keeping him healthy. I don't want him to get banged up, because if he gets banged up, and we've seen Russell Wilson go down with injuries before, right? I mean, he missed a few weeks at the start of the season for the Steelers with an injury. What happens if that happens again, and then you have Justin Fields already banged up because you're running this dual quarterback system? I'm just not a fan of it. I don't like it. Don't think they should run it. Just don't think it's a good idea. I think if you just stick with Russell Wilson in this game tonight, you're going to have a great opportunity to win. Because like I said, I think the defense for the Steelers is going to be the difference maker going up against a guy like Jameis Winston. Going to get those happy feet. He's going to force passes, and it's going to ended up getting turnover. He's going to hold on to the ball too long, and it's going to lead to stripped sacks. Just let your defense win you this game. Stick Russell Wilson in there. Don't worry about that dual quarterback system. You don't need it to win this game. You don't need to put Justin Fields' health on the line just to pick up a first down. So leave Russell Wilson in, let him cook, let him run that offense, as he knows how. It's the Glass Half Full here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. More bad news for the Dallas Cowboys. Looks like safety Marquise Bell is going to be out for the remainder of the year. Dislocated his shoulder trying to tackle Damian Pierce on a kickoff during Monday Night Football against the Texans. He's going to have season-ending surgery. That's what Mike McCarthy said. Said that he will be missed through the remainder of the year. And he's expected to have a surgery within the next few days. No exact set date on when that surgery is going to happen just yet. But again, he will be out for the remainder of the season for the Cowboys. And it's just another hit to this Dallas Cowboys team. It was bad enough that they were already just a bad football team that just wasn't gelling, wasn't playing well, just not having a good year. But when you mix in all of these other injuries, it just adds to it as well. I mean, you're talking about guys like Dak Prescott, tore his hamstring off the bone. He's out for the rest of the year. DeMarcus Lawrence, out for the year, it seems like. He's been on the IR for quite some time now. And then you look at Deron Bland. He could come back this week, but no guarantee that he will. Still could be sitting out this game. You had Micah Parsons out for an extended period of time during the middle of the season. Brandon Cooks could come back within the next week or two. He's been lifted to being able to practice, or should say elevated to being able to practice. So could get him back. But it's just that's just a taste of the injuries that the Cowboys have had this year. And that's why yesterday when we were talking about what the Cowboys need to do moving forward to kind of right the ship of where everything has gone wrong for them this year, one of the key points I pointed out was stay healthy. And that's why. Because you're looking at Dak Prescott, DeMarcus Lawrence, Deron Bland, Brandon Cooks, Micah Parsons, and now Marquise Bell missing time for you. Yeah, that's going to be tough to overcome. I don't care who you are. That's top talent across the board on your roster. But it also plays into, again, the conversation of Jerry Jones needs to do a better job as the general manager of this team going and getting that talent to help fill these holes so that if a guy does go down, there's no drop-off, right? And I think that's the big thing for the Cowboys is you've got to be able to have guys that can step up and, you know, have that next man up mentality. And right now, the Cowboys just don't have it. And unfortunately, it's coming at a bad time for them where they just continue to suffer injury after injury after injury. Speaking of injuries, George Kittle for the 49ers. I don't know where I got Greg Kittle from. But he is he's vowed to play against the Packers, right? He's been dealing with a hamstring issue. Did not play last week against the Seahawks. Wanted to. Was limited in practice, practiced on, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday of last week, sat out Friday, woke up Saturday, hamstring was a little tight, wasn't feeling good. Sunday when he woke up, it was even worse. So he ended up not playing last week against the Seahawks. And it looks like he said, you know what, this is a game against the Packers, right? This is another rivalry game inside the NFL. 49ers want to beat the Packers. Packers want to beat the 49ers. They don't like each other that much. It's definitely with a lot of postseason, you know, bad blood between these two teams as well. Kittle said he's definitely playing in this game, and he will be out there if he, you know, even if he's not at full strength, full health, he's definitely going to get out there and try to give it a go. The question on that is going to be, are they going to have a key offensive lineman? Are they going to have a key defensive player for them? Trent Williams, Nick Bosa is going to be game-time decision. Brock Purdy is still on the injury report with shoulder soreness, so it may not matter if George Kittle plays or not. Because if you don't have Brock Purdy, well, let's put it this way. If you don't have Trent Williams, you're going to be missing a key guy to block for Brock Purdy. If you don't have Brock Purdy, you're missing the guy that's going to be throwing George Kittle the passes. So there's a ripple effect here that the 49ers could see on Sunday if these guys are out. So it doesn't really matter, honestly and truthfully, looking at this, if Kittle plays or not. If Trent Williams is not in there to block for Purdy, if Purdy's not in there to make the pass to Kittle, what does it matter? And then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball, if they can't have Nick Bosa getting pressure and getting into the backfield, it could be a long day for this 49ers team after that disappointing loss last week against the Seahawks, which that was a disappointing game to give up that touchdown within the final minute of the game. It's a tough way to lose a game for anybody, especially a team that's trying to stay and fight their way into the playoff race for sure. ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. This is The Glass Half Full. You can be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in here on this Thursday morning. More trouble for the New York Jets. They are a M-E-S-S-S mess right now. Joe Douglas, the GM, has been fired. Robert Saleh, obviously fired earlier this season. They change play-calling duties around after they fire Saleh. They trade for Davante Adams, giving up a 2025 third-round pick. Then Woody Johnson is now coming out. Woody Johnson, as a matter of fact, wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers early in the season. Like, so much so to the point that he called a meeting with the team, or not the team, but the team officials, called them into a meeting after an early season loss to the Broncos to fall to 2-2. And he brought up the concerns of this team and the direction they were heading, and he mentioned benching Aaron Rodgers. Now, obviously, the rest of the leadership that was in that room vetoed that and did not agree with him. So Aaron Rodgers still stayed in the picture. And look, you're paying Aaron Rodgers as much as you are. Yeah, you're not going to put him on the bench. You're not going to give him free money like that. You're going to make him get in the game. You're going to make him play and earn that paycheck. Whether he's putting up the results of a win or not, you're going to put him in the game. You're going to leave him in the game. But again, like I said, going back to with the Steelers, with if Justin Fields gets hurt, if Russell Wilson gets hurt, who do you trust to be the leader of your team then? Same with the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers goes down, is there really truly a guy on that roster that you feel comfortable turning the football over to his hands and saying, hey, it's all yours, buddy. Go take care of this team for the remainder of the year. I don't think there is. And I think this year for the Jets is just, it's been so bad because there was so much promise, right? Aaron Rodgers coming back, he's going to be healthy. We added this in the offseason. We added that in the offseason. This could be the Jets' year. And they are now, what, 3-8 on the year. They're 1-6 since that Denver loss where Woody Johnson wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers. They are 1-6 since then. There's definitely some negative and bad vibes inside that Jets organization right now, right? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be happy about this report about the owner of the team wanting to bench him 4 weeks into the season. He's not going to be happy about that. And we know that Aaron Rodgers tends to hold grudges and tends to try to get people fired, right? There's no surprise that he was kind of sort of behind the Mike McCarthy getting fired from Green Bay. Lots of people speculate that he's kind of behind Robert Saleh getting fired earlier this season for the Jets. So there's definitely going to be some bad blood there between Aaron Rodgers and Woody Johnson moving forward. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, Aaron Rodgers came out the other day on the Pat McAfee show and said, yeah, I plan on playing until into 2025. I plan on playing next year. With this news about Woody Johnson, is that going to be with the Jets or is it going to be with somebody else? I find it very hard to believe that if you have the owner of the team wanting to bench you as the starting quarterback and you're a perceived future Hall of Famer, I have a hard time believing that ego is going to allow him to stay there with the Jets. I'm just saying, be prepared for Aaron Rodgers to want out of his deal with the New York Jets and possibly go to another team to finish his NFL career. I don't see him wanting to stick around and play for an owner that was all about benching him because of a loss that, you know, if you go back to that Denver game and you look at that game, not necessarily all of Aaron's fault. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a little bad blood there. We'll take our first time out. When we come back, we will switch gears, talk a little college football. As a matter of fact, second segment of today's show, it's going to be very college football head coach oriented. So we're going to be talking about some head coaches coming up next right here on The Glass Half Full.
Paul Feinbaum. On weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show, 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in to the Glass Half Full, 9:23 here on this Thursday morning, and actually have a chance for you to win some tickets here real quick on the Glass Half Full, and we're going to make it really easy for you. These tickets, actually, we got a few different pair of tickets for the show Michael Jackson, a thrilling tribute. It is a tribute to Michael Jackson, a performer that is a Michael Jackson impersonator who was actually here at the office building a couple of days ago. And I got to tell you what, saw a little bit of the performance. It is an incredible show. Definitely, this is a show that has been done in Vegas. This is a show that's been done all across the country. It is one of the top premier Michael Jackson impersonators. And you can actually win a pair of tickets. Actually, we have a few pair of tickets to give away. So we're going to make this easy. You just text in the word Thriller, T-H-R-I-L-L-E-R. You just text in the word Thriller to 850-623-1330. Again, text in the word Thriller to 850-623-1330, and we will randomly select some winners to take home these tickets to go see Michael Jackson, a thrilling tribute, December 23rd. At 7 o'clock at the Singer Theater in downtown Pensacola. So if you're a Michael Jackson fan, you want to go check out this show, trust me, you definitely do. Coming up on December 23rd, just text in the word Thriller to 850-623-1330. Getting back into the show today. And again, if you want to comment on anything with the show today, you can do that on that same number, 850-623-1330. Has Billy Napier done enough to save his job at Florida? Obviously, Athletic Director Scott Strickland came out, a couple of weeks ago, gave him that vote of confidence and said, hey, you know, he's going to stick around. He's going to be our guy. Has he done enough to keep his job? Here's the thing for me. I will start this out before we have this conversation by saying, I will admit, I have been very critical of Billy Napier on the season. I have even gone as far as to say that he should be fired, that this should be his final year at Florida. He should not get another opportunity. But what has happened since then, I think it is kind of starting to change people's minds, including my own, about giving him another year. This team looks different with DJ Lagway at the quarterback position. They really do. They're 5-5 on the season. With DJ Lagway playing a full game as the starter, they are 3-0. So that means three of their five wins, DJ Lagway was a contributing factor to. And I know there are some people out there that say, well, if he would have played the whole game against Georgia, Florida would have had an opportunity to win that game. My problem with that is I don't do those hypothetical situations. I don't. The way I see it is, they played Georgia, they lost to Georgia. It doesn't matter who was playing or who wasn't playing. They played Georgia, they lost to Georgia. I don't do the hypothetical of, well, if DJ Lagway had played, maybe they would have won. I don't do that. That's a loss. But I will say in like their last, three or four games, they're like, what are they? They blew out Kentucky, then they had a week off. Then they take care, or then they go on the road to Georgia, lose that game, and then they take care of business impressively against LSU last week, especially on the defensive side of the ball. This Florida team looks different the last few weeks. Defensively, offensively, the defensive line is getting pressure and it's just nasty, stopping the run. The secondary is playing a lot tighter coverage. I don't know what happened over that bye week before that Central Florida game, but something changed with this Florida team in general. And I really do think Florida 5-5 now on the season. They've got Ole Miss this Saturday. Then they've got Florida State the following Saturday. That Florida State game, I think we could probably go ahead if DJ Lagway is healthy. If the team that played LSU last weekend shows up against Florida State, that game should not be close. It should be an embarrassment. So that should give them their sixth win and put them at bowl eligible. But I'm not counting out Florida in this game this weekend against Ole Miss, right? This has been the weirdest. This is probably the most publicized 8-2 team versus 5-5 team game in college football in quite some time. But the thing about it is the talking points. And like I said the other day right here on the Glass Half Full, when you do what I do, when you do a show like this, talking points are massive. So when you have the thing of Billy Napier turning this Florida program around over the course of the season and really kind of making them a better team, right before our eyes as the season progressed. But then you also have the narrative of who was it that Florida fans wanted if they did fire Billy Napier? Lane Kiffin, the guy that's going to be on the other sideline on Saturday when they kick this thing off at local time, 11 o'clock Central Time. That is a very fun talking point to have. So when you look at this Florida team, I do think Billy's done enough to earn another year. Because the recruits, I mean, look at the recruits he's added just since beating LSU, not even a week ago. He's added a big offensive line recruit. He's added another quarterback for his class. He's added a wide receiver for the class. He is adding players of need for this class moving forward for Florida. And it's the one thing I have with Billy now, the one knock I have on Billy now is, can he close? Right? That early signing day is right around the corner. Can he close? We'll have to see if he can or not. But as of right now, I will say and I will admit I have changed my tone on Billy Napier. For the time being, I have changed my tone on Billy Napier. I would definitely see it being a smart move for Florida to give him another year, not just for money reasons, but also let's see what he can do after a full offseason of DJ Lagway as his quarterback one. Let's not forget, Graham Mertz was QB1 all offseason long and probably would still be QB1 to this day if he hadn't torn his ACL against Tennessee. And honestly and truthfully, and this is not a knock on Graham Mertz in any way, Billy Napier probably would be fired and done if Graham Mertz was still the starting quarterback. DJ Lagway has not only changed the way this team looks, but he saved Billy Napier's job. Because now we're having the conversation of seeing how this team looks with DJ Lagway, not only offensively, but defensively as well. We're saying, well, let's see what this guy can do with a whole offseason of DJ Lagway as QB1. If it's the way we think it is, Florida should be a very dangerous team next year, especially with the talent that would be returning, like Ball in the backfield with him, who had that big run to seal the game against LSU last week. So I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward with Billy Napier at Florida. I think he will be back in 2025, and if things go the way they look like they could with DJ Lagway, he might be back in 2026 and 2027 for sure. Because guys are going to want to come play with DJ Lagway. When you go back and you look at that recruiting class that Tim Tebow was a part of coming to Florida, and I'm not trying to compare Tim Tebow and DJ Lagway in any way, but what I'm saying is there was a lot of guys, Brendan Spikes, Percy Harvin, all of those guys signed in that class because they wanted to come play with Tebow. Not because they wanted to play at Florida, they wanted to play with Tebow. DJ Lagway is going to have that same effect on recruiting. Guys are going to want to come play with DJ Lagway, especially at the receiver position. Why? Because the dude throws dimes. That's all he does, throws dimes. He's a guy who's normally a mobile quarterback, but when he has a hamstring injury and he's stuck in the pocket, suddenly becomes Tom Brady just dropping dimes from the pocket. We've seen so far that DJ Lagway can do no wrong, and that's why Billy Napier is getting another opportunity next year. Not because of anything he's done as a coach, but the fact that he has DJ Lagway on his team. Other news right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. This is the Glass Half Full. Another Florida coach in the news, Jim McElwain. No, he's not messing with another shark again, I promise. He's actually retiring, so I guess it'll give him more time to go fishing. Sorry, bad joke. But he has announced that he is retiring. And he's in his 60s, so he's going to call it a career. However, I feel like this has more to do with him being a part of an NCAA investigation for the whole Connor Stallion situation. So I don't necessarily know if this is a real retirement or if this is a, I'm going to step out of college football before I get penalized and caught up in this investigation. I mean, Jim McElwain's career as a head coach has not been bad. 22 of 16 at Colorado State. 22-12 at Florida with the Gators, led them to one or two SEC championship games. So not bad records there. He did kind of have some scandals at Florida. Obviously, he had the issue with the banned substance and Will Grier going to GNC and getting something, taking it, but it had a banned substance in it. So then Will Grier gets suspended for the rest of the year. ultimately ends up transferring out to West Virginia. So, there was some things there. There was the death threats of him talking about how he was getting death threats through email. The university looked into it, couldn't really find any proof of a death threat. So that's kind of one of the things that led to him being fired. Because, again, he was 22-12 at Florida. The record did not represent him getting fired at the University of Florida. But it was the fake death threats and the comments like that and just kind of a souring relationship between him and the athletic department, the University Athletic Association there at the University of Florida, that led to him getting fired. And then, of course, there was, as I alluded to a moment ago, the shark pictures. So Jim McElwain, my point is, not a stranger to scandals. So he's part of this NCAA investigation that is involving Connor Stallions and the allegation of the sign stealing. And more importantly, his surrounding his presence on the Chippewa sideline during the 2023 opener against Michigan State. So basically, the way this is kind of looking is that maybe Central Michigan knew who he was, knew what he was doing, so they let him on the field to kind of have a look across the field at Michigan State's sideline in that game. So the NCAA taking a look at Central Michigan, they're taking a look at Jim McElwain, and Jim McElwain just decided, you know what? I'm going to call it a career. I'm done. So McElwain is out of the college football world. Whether he comes back or not, I don't know. I would think there's probably a show clause or whatever that the NCAA will put on there that if he does decide to come back, he's got to either pay X amount of a fine or spend X amount of a suspension or whatever it may be. So I don't know. We will have to see. It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Again, if you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Is Deion Sanders leaving Colorado? Could Coach Prime be primed and ready to go to a new location? Obviously, you got to think, you got to look at what they're losing this year in Colorado. What makes Colorado a good team? Let me ask you that first. What makes Colorado a good team? If you said Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders, you are absolutely correct, my friend. Because that's it. That's what makes them as good as they are. They are in the college football playoff conversation, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a second. But they are in that conversation because of those two guys. Both of them are going to be Heisman Trophy candidates. They're going to be in New York for the ceremony here in just a few weeks. One of them, in Travis Hunter, will probably take that trophy home with him. Unless Boise State's running back Ginty has anything to say. But even then, I think the sample size for Travis Hunter is a lot larger than for a guy at Boise State. So I'm still leaning towards Travis Hunter as taking home the Heisman Trophy this year. Those two guys will be gone. They'll enter the NBA or the NFL draft. So where does Deion Sanders go? Does he stay at Colorado? Does he rebuild the team? Or does he go somewhere else? Everybody seems to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys, right? And rightfully so. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. He's good friends with Jerry Jones. They like to hang out and talk about their money together. They both got a lot of it. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, you could definitely see him ending up as a Cowboy. Lots of Deion Sanders jerseys can still be seen at AT&T Stadium on Sundays. He's a beloved figure there. It's like Dan Marino with the Miami Dolphins. If Dan Marino decided he wanted to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, do you think there's Dolphin fans that would be like, uh-uh, no, I don't want that? They'd be going, heck yeah, bring him on in. Let him coach our quarterbacks. Let's real quick head to the phones here. We got Ronald. Ronald, what's going on, buddy?
Mr. Jordan Glass, I will make this quick, sir. Been listening to what you've been saying, dude. As far as Napier goes, I absolutely think he deserves another chance to see what he can do with Lagway for a full year. But, dude, if Lane Kiffin is available, Lagway, along with, these prospective receivers who may come in, I don't see how they could pass up on Kiffin if he becomes available. And I know how he moves around, because I'm thinking they better go ahead and make a move before Alabama gets Kiffin. That's what I'm thinking is happening. I'll listen for your response. Have a good day, sir.
Appreciate it, Ronald. As always, good to hear from you, buddy. And if I think you've got an interesting idea there, because I always said it. Whenever anybody would ask me when Nick Saban was still coaching at Alabama, they would say, who's going to be the guy that fills in, that takes over for the Crimson Tide whenever Nick Saban decides to retire? I always said it was going to be Lane Kiffin. I was surprised Lane Kiffin did not make that move to Alabama. If you look at Lane and kind of how he carries himself in press conferences now, how he kind of talks, his mannerisms, very much learned a lot from Nick Saban in his time there on the offensive staff and with the Crimson Tide. I think for Florida, the reason that they wouldn't just jump off Billy Napier and go towards Lane Kiffin, even if Lane is available, is I feel like there was an internal conversation when this conversation was had about, should we come out with a show of support for Billy Napier? Should we keep Billy Napier for another year? I feel like there was a conversation that was had. I feel like the UAA and the athletic director, Scott Strickland, went to DJ, and I feel like they asked DJ his opinion. Because let me tell you something. There was nobody happier when that vote of confidence came out from Scott Strickland. One of the first people to post it on social media was DJ Lagway. DJ Lagway has bought into Billy Napier as the head coach at the University of Florida. So I think, honestly and truthfully, look, Ronald, I get exactly what you're saying. If Lane Kiffin was the head coach and running an offense with a guy like DJ Lagway and some of the receivers that Florida's going to have over the next couple of seasons, oh, lights out. They're a national title contender because they're just going to outscore everybody. But the problem is I think if they got rid of DJ or if they got rid of Billy Napier, DJ Lagway would be on his way out, too. He'd hit the portal. And if he didn't go where Billy Napier went, he would go somewhere else. And I think for Florida, you look at a team that's possibly in the market for a quarterback through the transfer portal, and that's your rival over in Tallahassee. You definitely don't want to see him in Garnet and Gold the end of the next season. So I think for Florida, one of the reasons they decided to stick with Billy Napier was actually to keep DJ Lagway, because they know how special of a player DJ Lagway is, and that even with Billy Napier and the issues that he may have with the getting a team prepared and getting a team ready and some of the play calling things that he does with being very vanilla with play calling and being very predictable, a guy like DJ Lagway can change that, right? Almost kind of like Deshaun Watson changed it for Dabo Swinney at Clemson. Very similar situation there. As a matter of fact, oddly enough, Billy Napier, the offensive coordinator that was fired before Deshaun Watson came into Clemson and changed things there for Dabo Swinney. So they acknowledge the talent that DJ Lagway is, and I think that's a big reason why Billy Napier got that vote of confidence, and he's going to get another opportunity heading into 2025 with the Florida Gators. As far as Deion Sanders leaving Colorado, yes, he's going to lose Travis Hunter. Yes, he's going to lose Shedeur Sanders. Everybody's talking about the Dallas Cowboys, and like I said, rightfully so. Great fit, played for the Cowboys, good friends with Jerry Jones. Also, Cam Newton said Florida State, brought up Florida State. The only problem with both of those locations, neither one of those teams have fired their head coach yet. Mike McCarthy, still very much the head coach of the Cowboys. Mike Norvell, still very much the Cowboys, are still very much the head coach of the Florida State Seminoles. I don't see either one of them getting fired this year. I think it has to get a lot worse in Dallas. It can get a lot worse. That's hard to believe, but it can get a lot worse for the Cowboys in Dallas. But it'll have to get a lot worse in order for Jerry Jones to go ahead and pull the trigger. Let's not forget, Mike McCarthy's been there, what is this, his fourth season? Jason Garrett was there like nine. And it just was mediocre just about every single season under Jason Garrett. So Jerry Jones does have a habit of sticking with head coaches a little longer than he should. And that's why I don't think Mike McCarthy gets fired this year. So I don't think there will be a spot at either one of those locations for Coach Prime to go to. I think he probably sticks it out at Colorado. He likes it at Colorado. He's built a culture. He's built a relationship with everybody inside that community. So I think he's actually going to stick it out with the Buffaloes. We'll take a timeout when we come back. More of Glass Half Full right after this on ESPN Pensacola.
Mike Greenberg, weekdays 9 to 11, right before the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Be a part of today's show at 850-623-1330. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Welcome back in here on this Thursday morning to the Glass Half Full, your live and local show right here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. I am Jordan Glass. Thank you so much for tuning in. And if you did text in that word thriller a moment ago, we will be picking our winners coming up once the show is done with today. So we will, again, pick those winners for those Michael Jackson tribute show tickets coming up December 23rd at the Singer Theater once the show is over with today. And we'll get your information from all of our winners. So if you did text in, just sit tight. We definitely appreciate you doing so. And if you want to text in or call in to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. Talking a little college football playoff rankings now. Obviously, the new rankings came out on Tuesday night. We had Tomahawk Talk yesterday with Terry Gross, so we weren't able to get to it with the glass half full. So I want to kind of take a look at some questions I had, maybe some questions or comments you might have about the CFP rankings. So we'll go ahead and just kind of run through the top 12 real quick. Oregon coming in at number one. They'll stay there at the top spot. Ohio State at two, Texas at three, Penn State at four, Indiana at five. So our top five does not change. Notre Dame jumps up two spots to number six. Bama is up a spot or two to number seven. Miami is up a spot to number eight. Ole Miss is up two to number nine. Georgia is up to number 10. Tennessee drops four to number 11. And you've got Boise State sitting there at number 12. And then the kind of four teams on the bubble outside of that is SMU at 9-1 in the ACC, BYU at 9-1 in the Big 12, Texas A&M at 8-2 in the SEC, and Colorado at 8-2 in the Big 12. Those are kind of those bubble teams that are kind of waiting, that have a little bit of control over their destiny. If they win out, including their conference championship, there's a really good chance that they get into the college football playoff. But they have to win out. And if they don't win out, they also have to have some help along the way. So just kind of taking a look at some of the questions I have. The first one I want to talk about is Boise State. How lucky are they right now? Because the committee looks at the Power Four conferences, and they will say that the SEC conference champion, which right now they have as Texas, is in favor of a first-round bye. They sell that the Big Ten champion is in favor of a first-round bye. So they have that as Oregon. They don't have so much faith inside the ACC and the Big 12. More so the Big 12 than the ACC. There's zero faith there for the Big 12. I think when you look at this, and because of that, yes, Boise State is ranked at 12, but right now, if the playoffs started tomorrow, Boise State would actually technically be the fourth seed because they would get that fourth spot as those that first-round bye set of teams, which is absolutely incredible to think about, that a highest-ranked G5 conference champion would get bumped up into the semifinals just because there's not a lot of faith in the Big 12. And there's a little bit more faith in the ACC, but not by much. The committee, like most college football fans, expect the SEC and the Big 10 to carry the 12 playoff spots. As a matter of fact, right now, looking at it, we've got five teams from the SEC, four teams from the Big 10. So nine of your 12 teams are from those two conferences alone. You take out that G5 highest rated conference, that means you only have three teams from other conferences. You got Miami and SMU. You've got Miami. Then you have Notre Dame, who's an independent. And then you would have Boise State in there. When I look at the college football playoff right now, I'm looking at teams like BYU. I'm looking at teams like A&M and Colorado. I think right now those bubble teams have the best option, and that is just win. That's all you have to do. If you're Colorado, win out, beat BYU in the conference championship, and you're in. Vice versa if you're BYU. And I think the fact that, first and foremost, while we're talking about BYU, the fact that they dropped how many spots? They dropped 8 spots down to 14. The committee was waiting for this shoe to drop. They were waiting for BYU to lose. They kept humoring them and putting them up there, but they were waiting for them to lose. The minute they did, they dropped them, and they dropped them hard. And I'm going to say this for BYU, be careful. You've got Arizona State this weekend, who is ranked number 21. That's a very losable game if you're BYU. You better come ready to play, because if you lose that game, you're out of the college football playoff. And I think if you're Colorado, you want BYU to win that game, because if BYU loses that game, gets knocked out of the conference championship game, gets knocked out of the college football playoff, that hurts your chances. If you're A&M, you win out, including beating Texas next weekend and winning the SEC championship game in Atlanta, there's no way they keep you out. No way that they keep you out. As far as the ACC, real quick before we head to a quick timeout, who should be ranked higher? ACC, SMU, Miami. I'm going to go SMU over Miami, and I talked about this on Tuesday's show when we were kind of doing a preview and going through it. I don't trust Miami as much as I do SMU. I'm not saying I trust SMU a lot, but what I do know is I look at SMU's offense and I look at their defense, and I trust them a lot more against Miami than I trust Miami against SMU. Because, yes, Cam Ward's going to throw for 400 or 500 yards. They're going to score 40 points. But the problem is with that defense for the Hurricanes, they're going to allow SMU to score 50. And it would be like a 52-48 final score. SMU's offense will score as many points as they need to on that Miami defense. And that's why I think SMU should actually be still in the top 12. And SMU should actually be ahead of Miami. Head-to-head, I believe SMU wins. And we may actually get that opportunity here in about 3 weeks when we have our conference championship weekend. We'll take our final timeout of the day. When we come back, your headline roundup right here on ESPN Pensacola.
Paul Feinbaum on weekday afternoons after the Rich Eisen Show. 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Now, here's Jordan Glass.
Pushing our way into the final minutes of today's show here on the Glass Half Full. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330, 850-623-1330. It's time for your headline roundup, as we like to do every day when we wrap up the show. We take a look at some of the top headlines in the world of sports. Paul George injures his knee last night in the 76ers loss. Definitely a tough loss for him. We'll see just how long he plans on or is expected to be out with that injury. Woody Johnson, he wanted to bench Aaron Rodgers after an early season loss to Denver. Obviously, it's been a tumultuous year for the Jets, firing Robert Saleh, changing play calls, making play callers, making trades for Devontae Adams, now firing their GM. Just definitely been an up and down year, more down than up for the Jets. Definitely will be interesting to see how Aaron Rodgers reacts to the news of Woody Johnson wanting to bench him early in the season. Tommy DeVito, he is sticking to football, trying to avoid fun in games like last year, you know, kind of getting caught up in the hand signals and gestures and all the fun stuff he was doing with the Giants last year when he took over from Daniel Jones. He will get the start this Sunday for the Giants against Tampa Bay, wanting to focus more on football. Jim McElwain set to retire from Central Michigan amid being a part of an NCAA investigation into the Connor Stallions signal stealing scandal. Former University of Virginia student has pled guilty Wednesday to fatally shooting 3 football players and wounding 2 other students back in 2022. You may remember the Cavaliers just canceled their last couple of games after that happened. And Atlanta Braves pitcher Chris Sale wins the National League Cy Young Pitcher of the Year Award. So congratulations there to him. Very much deserved with the comeback he had there with the Atlanta Braves this past season. It's the Glass Half Full here on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to be a part of the show, 850-623-1330. We've got some college football tonight. North Carolina State on the road to take on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech favored at home by 8.5. Georgia Tech still has not lost at home this year. They're looking to go undefeated on the season, with tonight being senior night for the Yellow Jackets. Look for Haynes King. He's going to be the big difference maker for them on the offensive side of the ball tonight against this Wolfpack front seven. If the Wolfpack can contain him and keep him in the pocket and put a little pressure on him, North Carolina State might have an opportunity at winning this game, but I think Georgia Tech at home in this one, I think they're going to have a pretty good opportunity, especially with North Carolina State starting a freshman quarterback in C.J. Bailey, who has played great for the Wolfpack this year. His third best starting freshman quarterback in NC State history. He's thrown for over 1,700 yards. He's done a great job filling in for Grayson McCall, who retired because of a concussion. But I think this Georgia Tech defense at home just going to be a little too much for him tonight. I like the Yellow Jackets in this one. As far as our NFL game on Thursday night, Steelers favored by 3.5 on the road against the Browns. Can the Browns offense find any success against this Steelers defense, who has been very strong the last couple of weeks? You know, Cam Hayward, TJ Watt, the whole crew getting it done there. I think the Steelers get it done tonight. I think the final score is going to be along the lines of 27-14 in favor of Pittsburgh. Keep Justin Fields off the field. You don't need the dual quarterback system. Just let Russell Wilson cook. Let him do his thing. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Glass Half Full right after this. Stay tuned. Greeny coming up next on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to